though we could not at the town, but we found out horses could not pass till 11 or 12 at night. So we judged it would be best to go over ourselves and leave them behind. In a little time, we procured a kind of boat about half as long as a London wherry and 3 or 4 feet broad. Soon after we had put off, I perceived it leaked on all sides, nor had we anything to lade out the water. When we came toward the middle of the river, which was 3 miles over, the wind being high and the water rough, our boatmen seemed a little surprised, but we encouraged them to pull away, and in less than half an hour we landed safe. Our horses were brought after us, and the next day we rode on to Kinghorn Ferry and had a pleasant passage to Leith. Sunday the 29th. I preached at 7 in the high school yard, Edinburgh, it being the time of the General Assembly, which drew together not the ministers only, but abundance of the nobility and gentry. Many of both sorts were present, but abundantly more at 5 in the afternoon. I spake as plainly as ever I did in my life, but I never knew any in Scotland offended at plain dealing. In this respect, the North Britons are a pattern to all mankind. Tuesday, June 7th. There is something remarkable in the manner wherein God revived his work in these parts. A few months ago, the generality of people in this circuit were exceedingly lifeless. Samuel Meggett, perceiving this, advised the society at Barnard Castle to observe every Friday with fasting and prayer. The very first Friday they met together, God broke in upon them in a wonderful manner, and his work has been increasing among them ever since. The neighboring societies heard of this, agreed to follow the same rule, and soon experienced the same blessing. Is not the neglect of this plain duty, I mean fasting, ranked by our Lord with almsgiving and prayer, one general occasion of deadness among Christians? Can anyone willingly neglect it and be guiltless? The Drunkard's Magnificat. Thursday the 16th. At 5 in the evening, I preached at Dewsbury, and on Friday the 17th reached Manchester. Here I received a particular account of a remarkable incident. An eminent drunkard of Congleton used to divert himself whenever there was preaching there by standing over against the house, cursing and swearing at the preacher. One evening he had a fancy to step in and hear what the man had to say. He did so, but it made him so uneasy that he could not sleep all night. In the morning he was more uneasy still. He walked in the fields, but all in vain, till it came in his mind to go to one of his merry companions, who was always ready to abuse the Methodists. He told him how he was and asked what he should do. "Do," said Samuel, "go and join the society." "I will, for I was never so uneasy in my life." They did so without delay, but presently David cried out, "I am sorry I joined, for I shall get drunk again, and they will turn me out." However, he stood firm for 4 days. On the 5th, he was persuaded by the old companions to take one pint, and then another and another, till one of them said, "See, here is a Methodist drunk." David started up and knocked him over, chair and all. He then drove the rest out of the house, caught up the landlady, carried her out, threw her into the kennel, went back to the house, broke down the door, threw it into the street, then ran into the fields, tore his hair, and rolled up and down on the ground. In a day or two was a love fest. He stole in, getting behind, that none might see him. While Mr. Furze was at prayer, he was seized with a dreadful agony, both of body and mind. This caused many to wrestle with God for him. In a while he sprang up on his feet, stretched out his hands, and cried aloud, "All my sins are forgiven." At the same instant, one of the other side of the room cried out, "Jesus is mine, and he has taken away all my sins." This was Samuel H. David, burst through the people, caught him in his arms, and said, Come, let us sing the Virgin Mary's song. I never could sing it before. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit doth rejoice in God my Savior. and their following behavior plainly showed the reality of their profession. Monday the 20th, I preached at Maxfield about noon. As I had not been well and was not quite recovered, our brethren insisted on sending me in a chaise to Burslem. Between 4 and 5 I quitted the chaise and took my horse. Presently, after hearing a cry, I looked back and saw the chaise upside down, the wheels having violently struck against a stone and well nigh dashed in pieces. About 7 I preached to a large congregation at Burslem. These poor potters 4 years ago were as wild and ignorant as any of the colliers in Kingswood. Lord, thou hast power over thine own clay. Wesley praises Wales. Saturday, August 20th. Brecknock. We took horse at 4 and rode through one of the pleasantest countries in the world. When we came to Trecastle, we had ridden 50 miles in Monmouthshire and Brecknockshire, and I will be bold to say all England does not afford such a line of 50-mile lengths for fields, meadows, woods, brooks, and gently rising mountains, fruitful to the very top. Carmarthenshire, into which we came soon after, has at least as fruitful a soil, but it is not so pleasant because it has fewer mountains, though abundance of brooks and rivers. About 5 I preached on the green at Carmarthen to a large number of deeply attentive people. Here 2 gentlemen from Pembroke met me, with whom we rode to St. Clair, intending to lodge there. But the inn was quite full, so we concluded to try for Larne, though we knew not the way, and it was now quite dark. Just then came up an honest man who was riding thither, and we willingly bore him company. Thursday the 25th, I was more convinced than ever that the preaching like an apostle, without joining together those that are awakened and training them up in the ways of God, is only begetting children for the murderer. How much preaching has there been for these 20 years all over Pembrokeshire, but no regular societies, no discipline, no order or connection, and the consequence is that 9 in 10 of the once awakened are now faster asleep than ever. Friday the 26th. We designed to take course at 4 from Haverford West, but the rain poured down so that one could scarcely look out. About 6, however, we set out and rode through heavy rain to St. Clair. Having then little hopes of crossing the sands, we determined to go round by Carmarthen. But the hostler told us we might save several miles by going to Llansteffan's Ferry. We came thither about noon, where a good woman informed us the boat was aground and would not pass till the evening, so we judged it best to go by Carmarthen's Fill. But when we had ridden 3 or 4 miles, I recollected that I heard of a ford which would save us some miles riding. We inquired of an old man, who soon mounted his horse, showed us the way, and rode through the river before us. Soon after, my mare dropped a shoe, which event occasioned so much loss of time that we could not ride the sands, but were obliged to go round through a miserable road to Llanelos. To mend the matter, our guide lost his way, both before we came to the Llanelos and after, so that it was as much as we could do to reach Bacher Ferry a little after sunset. Knowing it was impossible then to reach Penrhys, as we designed, we went on straight to Swansea. Methodists and their wealth. Saturday, September 15, Bristol. I preached on the green at Bedminster. I am apt to think many of the hearers scarcely ever heard a Methodist before, or perhaps any other preacher. What but field preaching could reach these poor sinners? And are not their souls also precious in the sight of God? Sunday the 18th, I preached in the morning in Princess Street to a numerous congregation. 2 or 3 gentlemen, so-called, laughed at first, but in a few minutes they were as serious as the rest. On Monday evening I gave our brethren a solemn caution not to love the world, neither the things of the world. This will be their grand danger, as they are industrious and frugal. they must needs increase in goods. This appears already in London, Bristol, and most other trading towns. Those who are in business have increased in substance sevenfold, some of them 20, yea, 100-fold. What need, then, have these of the strongest warnings, lest they be entangled therein and perish? Friday the 23rd, I preached at Bath. Riding home, we saw a coffin being carried into St. George's Church, with many children attending it. When we came near, we found they were our own children, attending a corpse of one of their schoolfellows, who had died of the smallpox, and God thereby touched many of their hearts in a manner they never knew before. Monday the 26th, I preached to the prisoners at Newgate, and in the afternoon rode over to Kingswood, where I had a solemn watch night, and an opportunity of speaking closely to the children. One is dead, two recovered, seven are still ill, and the hearts of all are like melting wax. Saturday, October 1st, I returned to London and found our house in ruins, a great part of it being taken down in order to a thorough repair. But as much remained as I wanted. 6 foot square suffices me by day or by night. Thursday, December 22nd. I spent a little time in a visit to Mr. M. 20 years ago, he was a zealous and useful magistrate. Now a picture of human nature and disgrace. Feeble in body and mind, slow of speech and of understanding. Lord, let me not live to be useless. 1764, Monday, January 16th. I rode to High Wycombe and preached to a more numerous and serious congregation than ever I saw there before. Shall there be yet another day of visitation to these careless people? A large number was present at 5 a.m, but my face and gums were so swelled I could hardly speak. After I took horse, they grew worse and worse till it began to rain. I was then persuaded to put on an oil-case hood, which, the wind being very high, kept rubbing continually on my cheek till both pain and swelling were gone. A difficult crossing. Between 12 and 1 we crossed Ensham Ferry. The water was like a sea on both sides. I asked the ferryman, "Can we ride the causeway?" He said, "Yes, sir, if you keep in the middle." But this was the difficulty, as the whole causeway was covered with water to a considerable depth, and this in many parts ran over the causeway with the swiftness and violence of a sluice. Once my mare lost both her forefeet, but she gave a spring and recovered the causeway. Otherwise, we must have taken a swim, for the water on either side was 10 or 12 feet deep. However, after 1 or 2 more plunges, we got through and came safely to Whitney. Monday, February 6th, I opened the new chapel at Wapping. Thursday the 16th, I once more took a serious walk through the tombs in Westminster Abbey. What heaps of unmeaning stone and marble! But there was one tomb which showed common sense. That beautiful figure of Mr. Nightingale endeavoring to screen his lovely wife from death. Here indeed the marble seems to speak, and the statues appear, only not alive. February 24th, I returned to London. Wednesday the 29th, I heard Judith, an oratorio performed at the Lock. Some parts of it are exceedingly fine, but there are two things in all modern pieces of music which I could never reconcile to common sense. One is singing the same words 10 times over, the other singing different words by different persons at one and the same time. And this in the most solemn addresses to God, whether by way of prayer or of thanksgiving. This can never be defended by all the musicians in Europe till reason is quite out of date. Wesley at Birmingham, Walsall, and Derby. Wednesday, March 21st, we had an exceedingly large congregation at Birmingham in what was formerly the playhouse. Happy would it be if all the playhouses in the kingdom were converted to so good a use. After service, the mob gathered and threw some dirt and stones at those who were going out. But it is probable they will soon be calmed, as some of them are in jail already. A few endeavored to make a disturbance the next evening during the preaching, but it was lost labor. The congregation would not be diverted from taking earnest heed to the things that were spoken. Friday the 23rd, I rode to Dudley, formerly a den of lions, but now as quiet as Bristol. They had just finished their preaching house, which was thoroughly filled. I saw no trifler, but many in tears. Monday the 26th, I was desired to preach at Walsall. James Jones was alarmed at the motion, apprehending there would be much disturbance. However, I determined to make the trial. Coming into the house, I met with a token for good. A woman was telling her neighbor why she came. "I had a desire," said she, "to hear this man, yet I durst not, because I heard so much ill of him. But this morning I dreamed I was praying earnestly, and I heard a voice saying, 'See the 8th verse of the 1st chapter of St. John.' I waked and got my Bible and read, 'He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light.' I got up and came away with all my heart. The house not being capable of containing the people, about 7 I began preaching abroad, and there was no opposer, no, nor a trifler to be seen. All present were earnestly attentive. How is Walsall changed? How has God either tamed the wild beasts or chained them up?" Tuesday the 27th, we rode to Derby. Mr. Dobinson believed it would be best for me to preach in the marketplace, as there seemed to be a general inclination in the town, even among people of fashion, to hear me. He had mentioned it to the mayor, who said he did not apprehend there would be the least disturbance, but if there should be anything of the kind, he would take care to suppress it. A multitude of people were gathered at 5, and were pretty quiet till I had named my text. Then the beast of the people lifted up their voice, hallooing and shouting on every side. Finding it impossible to be heard, I walked softly away. An innumerable retinue followed me, but only a few pebblestones were thrown, and no one heard at all. Most of the rabble followed quiet to Mr. D's house, but it seems without any malice pretense, for they stood stock still about an hour and then quietly went away. Saturday the 31st, Rotherham. An odd circumstance occurred during the morning preaching. It was well that only serious persons were present. An ass walked gravely in at the gate, came up to the door of the house, lifted up his head, and stood stock still in a posture of deep attention. Might not the dumb beast reprove many who have far less decency and not much more understanding? No law for Methodists. At noon I preached, the room being too small to contain the people, in a yard near the bridge in Doncaster. The wind was high and exceedingly sharp and blew all the time on the side of my head. In the afternoon I was seized with a sore throat almost as soon as I came to Epworth. However, I preached, though with some difficulty, but afterward I could hardly speak. Being better the next day, Sunday, April 1st, I preached about 1 at Westwood's side, and soon after 4 in the marketplace at Epworth, to a numerous congregation. At first, indeed, but few could hear, but the more I spoke, the more my voice was strengthened, till toward the close all my pain and weakness were gone, and all could hear distinctly. Monday, April 2nd, I had a day of rest. Tuesday the 3rd, I preached about 9 at Scotter, a town 6 or 7 miles east of Epworth, where a sudden flame is broken out, many being convinced of sin almost at once, and many justified. But there were many adversaries stirred up by a bad man who told them, "There is no law for Methodists." Hence continual riots followed, till after a while,